Today is Thursday, June 19th, 2014. I'm Aliza Becker. I'm here with Jonah Sarita, and we're at the Hudson Library, and we're about to start an interview. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Jonah Sarita. I am 25 years old. I am Puerto Rican, Hispanic, and I live in Hudson and work in Hudson. Oh yeah, that's pretty much it.
Want to tell me about yourself?
Sure. It's big. Let me see, I do landscaping for a living. In my spare time, I like to do carpentry work, build my own furniture. Besides that, my hobbies are playing guitar, sports, soccer. I am the youngest of four, but my father has other kids, so I would technically have two younger siblings. I was raised in the house with four of my siblings. That's pretty much it. We're all musically talented. We performed in the Flag Day Parade a few years. Performed in talent shows and local churches. And yeah, what do you want to know?
Okay, thanks for moving your chair.
Sure.
Can you tell me about your early life?
Sure. My early life, I was born in Passaic, New Jersey. When I was about 3-4 years old, my mother moved us out to actually Springfield, Massachusetts. And we lived there for a few months. And then one of my aunts and uncles lived in Catskill. And so we moved to Catskill with them. Then we ended up sharing an apartment in Hudson. So it was me and my siblings with my aunt and all her kids and my dad and my uncle. So it was a very packed house. I'm used to living in a packed environment, in a family environment. When I moved to Hudson, I went to John L. Edwards for a few years. A few incidents happened with a teacher, and my mom sent us to private school in Stottville, Faith Christian Academy, where I was there for about 2 years between third and fourth grade. And in private school, it's different. When you leave private school, the credits aren't as the same as they are in public school, so everything mixes up. So I ended up having to stay back a year when I went to public school. I started public school in the fifth grade at Hudson Middle School before they built all that extra stuff on it when it was just the old school. And I stayed there through all the grades up until eighth grade. After eighth grade, I moved to Florida, to West Palm Beach, Florida, with my father, and I stayed there for ninth grade and the beginning of ninth grade again. And got sent up here because I started acting crazy. Got sent to Hudson High School. I was in Hudson High School for only a year while I was 16 and got expelled. And so from the age of 16 till now, I haven't had any education. Mostly my fault. You know, I didn't come from a ghetto. I didn't come from a project building. My mom and father tried to provide us with everything they had, and we fell victim to peer pressure, especially me being the youngest, and you know, got swallowed almost by the streets. And by the time I was, when we were 14 actually, we got put in a foster home in Carroll. And we were there for a few months right before I went to Florida. And that was a very traumatizing experience. So I think that's what set off my rebellion. And when I was living in Florida, I didn't grow up knowing my real father. So he was more of a friend instead of an actual, you know, parent. And so he would let us smoke bud and let us stay out late and parties and don't care about school kind of thing. And so I thought that was okay. And, you know, I lived a wild life and didn't really worry about the consequences or how it would affect me today. And yeah, so when I came back to Hudson, I was about 17. And when I came back to Hudson, I was in a, how would you say, like a, I was a tough guy. You know, I've been through the streets of Florida. West Palm Beach is only like 45 minutes away from Miami. And, you know, so I came back with this, you know, whole new look on life. And so when I came back, everybody, they expected a different me. And to back it up a little bit, when I was in Hudson, I was a really good kid. I, if you ever pass the TSL building, in the back there's a big mural of a bunch of kids doing poses and stuff, and I'm the one all the way at the end. And actually right across the street from the TSL, there's another mural with like words and spray painting, and one of mine are up there. And yeah, I was a big, you know, I was a really good kid. And in middle school, I was a peer mediator. So the guidance counselor would let me use her guidance office, and I would sit kids down and we'll talk about their problems. And yeah, so I used to have a, my brother is a big musician. He can play anything. And me, I can play instruments, but not as good as him. So I was been into building and construction. And so by the time I was like 12, I had my own bike shop. And so the neighborhood kids, yeah, the neighborhood kids would come over with their bikes and, you know, I'll give them, you know, free tires and parts or handlebars. We would create new bikes, put, you know, three tires on it or like a steering wheel. I even one time put a can of spray paint with one of those barbecue torches and had two strings, one for the torch and one for the spray paint. So when I would pull the strings, it would create a little torch out the back of my bike. And we used to get donations from like the community, and they would just drop off, you know, truckloads of bike parts. And so it was real nice. And, you know, I was good in school. I was a smart kid, you know. And so ever since, you know, about 14, 15, that, you know, my life started going down, you know, it's been hard to bring it back, you know, to where I used to be. And yeah, I did a lot of moving, a lot of traveling around. I lived in the city for a while. I lived in the Bronx, Harlem. I used to be in a group center in Queens. I used to be in another center in downtown Manhattan. My sister, she stays in Brooklyn, and I used to live with her. I used to live in Jersey. I used to live in Vermont, trips back and forth to Florida. Just recently, actually, I came up from North Carolina and Virginia, living over there. And yeah. And so when I came back, I'm about 18 now, and rebelling, not caring. One of my friends was having a party. We went to his party, met a girl, and brought her to my house that night. You know, a few days later, she's pregnant. And so by the time I was 18, I found myself as a father, no education, running the streets, smoking, drinking, you know, like life was a party. And I ended up moving back to Florida with this girl. And we moved to Syracuse for the pregnancy. And from Syracuse, things just didn't go right. While I was in Florida, I ended up being arrested. And while I was arrested in lockup, she had cheated on me. And so that was one of the reasons why we had came back, because I couldn't prove it for sure. And so once I had enough proof, I left her. So, you know, by time, my son, he's 7 years old now. I have a 7-year-old boy. He was born March 3rd, 2007. And his name is Jacob. Jacob Jose Cerita. He looks just like me. He's a real cool little kid, and he lives in Syracuse right now. And it's a real touchy, you know, relationship between me and my child's mother. But I do try hard to make it work, and sometimes it's not as easy as people want to make it seem. Like, oh well, all you have to do is, or I have to do is. It's not, you know, it's not that simple. You know, much easier said than done. But yeah, I'm 25, and I feel like I've been through enough life experiences for a person my age than some people double my age. You know, I've seen people die in front of me. I've been in accidents, been in jail, rehabs, group homes, in shelters, on the streets, couch hopping, kicked out, you know, taken in, you know, so. And somebody just asked me yesterday, like, would I let my son live the same kind of life I did? I shrugged my shoulders and I said, hell yeah. So why not? I came out to be perfect. I'm fine. I'm smart. Have so many life experiences. Of course, there's a lot in my past that I would like to change or stop that night. But as far as wanting to change, you know, my past or preventing somebody else from living it, I wouldn't. And I just try to learn a lot from my mistakes, at least the dumb ones, the real stupid mistakes. And they say if you mess up once, it's a mistake. If you mess up twice, it was a choice, you know. So anybody can say, oh, I messed up, I made a mistake. But after the first time, it's because you wanted to do it. And so so I just try to be as wise and as humble and remember, like, everything can be gone in a day. And yeah, so that's a little backstory about me. And now I live in Carroll. I've been with a girl for 5 years. Our anniversary would be this July. She would be mad if she was here right now, seeing me forget it. July 28th will be 5 years for us. We are not married. We do not have kids together. We have two dogs, an apartment, and bills. But yeah, we've been together for 5 years. We enjoy our relationship. We see eye to eye on things, most things. And we don't know how far it's going to go. I try not to look too deep into, you know, 5-10 years from now, where are we going to be? Because every day can change. And if, you know, if today she loves me, tomorrow she doesn't, then what? So I just try to see it as, you know, yesterday I loved her, today I will, who knows tomorrow. And it's been working ever since. You know, we've had a lot of up and downs. She's traveled with me a few times to North Carolina and Virginia. She's been there with me through a lot. I used to have long braids, long cornrows that came down to here. And she was there with me through the whole growing process until slow. And yeah, I end up cutting my hair because I was getting stereotyped way too much. Because when you have long hair, and especially if you're a guy, you want to keep it wrapped up or keep like a hat on. And, you know, people would see like, oh, here's this Puerto Rican kid, you know, with cornrows and saggy pants and, you know, a hat on. You know, lock your car, hide your keys, you know, put away your wallet. So for an image thing, I end up cutting my hair and stopped wearing hats and baggy clothes and stopped selling drugs. And yeah, you know, Hudson is a very, very small town. It's the people I grew up with that was in my age groups. They're all becoming parents now, all becoming fathers and going into their careers and stuff like that. So all that means is that their kids are coming up in the same place that we came up in. And most of the businesses that used to be around were family businesses owned by people who lived in Hudson. And even today you'll see a few company trucks that those are people who live in Hudson or around Hudson, and it's a family business. And so I would like to have a business and, you know, make a better image for myself, but it's hard when it's in a small town like this, where nobody forgets anything and, You know, you could fart on one end and somebody could smell it on the other. And where everybody talks, everybody knows each other. And sometimes that's a very good thing, to have a strong community where everybody's involved. But then sometimes it's a bad thing, because then too many people are involved. They have too many hands in the pot. And so I just want to, you know, show the people of Hudson, myself, you know, the cops who've arrested me, the mayors who've seen me, the judges who, you know, sentenced me, the, you know, people who, you know, who didn't like me or I didn't like at the time, so they can see that people do change. And just try to be more positive, you know, for my older brothers. Because just because they're older doesn't mean they're smarter or doing better. And a lot of times I feel like I'm the older one when I have, you know, two older brothers and an older sister. And so I feel like I have to step up as the younger one to show them how, you know, the right ways to go. And that's it for, you know, for these young kids coming up who are like 13, 14, who's going through those, you know, family, you know, dramatic experiences, that it's hard. I remember they used to send me to counselors and, you know, to these people who were, you know, three times, you know, I'm 15 years old and they're sending somebody way older than me whose generation been through something totally different as mine. And you want to say you can relate? You want to say you understand? No, you don't. You know, you don't know what it's like being a teenager in the 2000s, or with, you know, how anything affects us now. So I always thought to myself, like, once I become more successful, more established, I want to do something just to help, you know, help the younger kids, help the youth. Because it's a real slippery slope. And once, you know, it's, you know, it starts with being cool at school, you know, playing around in the cafeteria. Now you're getting sent to the principal's office. Now in school suspension. Now out of school suspension. Now you're expelled. Then it's pins. Then probation. Then county jail. Then parole. And then nothing. And then welfare line. So that's all it leads. Either welfare line or standing on third. Third in state or third in Columbia, with a few packs in your pocket, waiting for somebody to walk by. And, you know, I wish I would have finished my education, my high school education. Not even for the whole, like, my future, you know, college kind of thing. It has nothing to do with that, but just the experiences. Homecoming, prom, you know, activity nights, you know, games, football games. Those are things that, like, when you're out of school and you're 25 years old and you're in the real world and you have to wake up at 6 in the morning, you kind of miss it. You kind of wish, like, you had that one thing from your childhood you could have hold on to. And I made a lot of friends in school. I was really, you know, I wasn't a social butterfly, but I was cool with the music kids. I was cool with, like, the stoners. I was cool with, like, the, you know, preppy kids. Cool with, like, the weirdos. So, you know, but I was a loner myself. I would walk the halls by myself. And I, you know, most of these people, like I said before, most of these people who are walking around now with families and stuff, these were my classmates from back, you know, 2001. It's hard to, not hard, but it's different to see, like, you know, how everybody's path just went totally different directions, or how you didn't expect with this person. Or, and when you're a young kid, I remember I used to be, you know, 13 years old, probably a little bit younger, and I would stay up in my room and I would set up like a microphone and set up my mirror and like just talk to myself in the mirror like I'm on stage talking to people. And hoping that by the time I'm 25, 30 years old, that I would have, you know, some kind of job like that. And it didn't turn out that way, but it's not too late. I'm still optimistic, still confident in my future and myself. And we used to live on 5th and State. Actually, we used to live in the alley, a little yellow house. And it was a two-bedroom. So me and my brother shared one. My sister had a room to herself, and my mom and dad would sleep in the living room. And then a few years later, we moved right across the street from the armory. And, you know, after school, me and a bunch of kids, we would play, you know, touch football or soccer or whatever. And then my mom ended up buying a house on 7th and State. And, you know, we lived there for a few years. And those were during the years of, like, my in and out, running away, kicking out, you know, tantrum kind of phases. And yeah, you know, I tried going to college. I tried going to Columbia Green. My girlfriend, she just turned 25. She has 2 degrees. Yeah. One in English literature and one in business management. And so it surprises me because she never went to public school her whole life. From kindergarten to 12, it was all homeschooled. And the crazier part about it is that while we were the same age, we got sent to the same private school, but we didn't know each other at the time, or we didn't know of each other. And she loves school. She's going back in the fall, maybe to Hudson Valley or SUNY. And she loves going to school. She's planning on going for like 5 years. And I just thought, like, damn, babe, you know, 5 years in school, you know what you can do with that kind of time? If you worked 40 hours a week, you know, this many weeks a year at $15 an hour, you know how much money you'll have? And so, you know, everybody sees a difference. So when I tried going to school, I probably went for about a month and said, you know what, it's not for me. And went back to my job, you know, signed up for the full-time shift and started working. But I've always been working since I was a young kid. My first job when I was 8 years old, doing a newspaper delivery. My mom always taught us the concept of money at a young age, what it takes. Okay, if you want to break something, this is how much it's going to be. If you want something at the toy store, this is what you're going to have to do. And so me and my brothers and my sister, we always knew, like, what money was, how to make money. And so we never had a problem working. And so I see some of my cousins, or I have a friend who's about a year younger than me, and he's never had a job. It's like, how are you 24 years old and you've never had a job before? And so, you know, like I said before, just how our paths went down different roads. And now here he is with his high school diploma, but no work experience. And here I am with a resume loaded from butcher to forklift operator, you know, of experience, you know. And in 5 years, when we go to apply to jobs, to our career of choice, I'm sure he would probably be accepted much faster than I would be. And which I don't mind. I did get my GED. That's where I know, like, I'm not stupid, because for some people, they have to, like, take, you know, pre-courses and practice tests and stuff. I took mine weekend after weekend. One weekend English and history, the next weekend math and science. Passed them both and got my GED in the mail. And so that was, you know, that was a good accomplishment. And yeah, I never tried going back to school. I always thought about it, but you know, there's a lot of famous, successful people in the world today who never finished school, and they're doing pretty good. And so, so I think I'll be able to, you know. So for my landscaping job, I just got a raise. I make $17 an hour, you know, about 35 hours a week. So about every 2 weeks, I'm bringing home close to $1,000. And I've worked positions where I only made $7 an hour, every 2 weeks, I'm bringing home like 400. So I know what it is to like struggle, to hustle, to want, you know. I leave my house every morning with a fresh white tee. And unless my t-shirt isn't filled with mud or my pants or my hands, you know, don't have blisters and my face isn't red from the sun, then it's not a good work day. And yeah, I wake up early in the morning, take care of my dogs, take care of my house, drive to town. It's about a 20-minute drive from where I live now. I wake up my brother and I get my day started. And I usually don't return home till about 6-7 o'clock that night. Only have about 2 hours to actually, you know, catch up on house stuff, then back to sleep and do it all over again. And yeah, and I don't mind, you know. I feel like in order to be a good leader, you have to be a good follower. If you want to be a good boss, you have to be a good worker, you know. So that's why I don't mind getting my hands dirty now. I work with a lot of old timers who they, you know, they'll tell me like, you know, when I was your age, I was doing this and I couldn't do that kind of stuff now. And so I know while I'm young, while I'm still in my 20s, to enjoy it, to use it to my advantage, especially my physical, my body, my back, you know, my arms, my legs, you know, those are things that people take for granted and want to sit on their ass all day, sit on their butt all day. And find themselves, you know, 30 years old, like, what am I supposed to do? So like I said, I enjoy working with my hands. I like to invent things, like to create new things. Feel we're in the world, or at least, if not the world, then this town is the kind of town to accept that kind of stuff. Accept the arts and open-mindedness. And actually, I have a great idea. And as far as my furniture goes, and it's like, even sitting here now, looking at this table or looking at these chairs, you know, what I see is a bunch of glue that if somebody sat on this or somebody left a drink and it created a little water thing, a few days, it's going to start to bubble. Who wants a bubbling table? Or if, you know, a little kid sat on it, or if you put a heavy TV on it, will it break? And so the other side is, if you ever go behind a grocery store or a mall center or anywhere, you always see a mountain of pallets. You know, only thing that happens to those pallets is they get broken down into little wood chips to create shitty tables, you know? And so my idea is, before they get broken down and stripped apart, to keep them as, you know, as wood. To keep them, they're already pressure treated. Most of them are cut evenly to the same size, and create stuff with that. And so when I was in North Carolina, I started doing that. I made a few tables, a few benches and chairs and nightstands and so on. So that's basically my business idea, is to collect recycled wood, and before it goes to being processed and more trees need to get cut down to make the same kind of stuff, you know, cut out the middleman. So that's what I'm going to do. And not just pallets, but if there's ever a big storm and now big tree limbs fall from somebody's house and they have this big tree trunk just sitting in their lawn, cut up into pieces, and you can do something with that. You can make tables, you can make outdoor patio, so many different stuffs, bowls, cups, you know, anything, flower pots, you know, it's just on how creative you want to be. And so that was like one of my big motivations for moving back to Hudson, was that I knew, like, you know, I've seen what Hudson was before. I've been here for, you know, almost 20 years, safe to say 20 years. And through all the changes, you know, I remember when John L. Edwards was smaller. I remember when they used to have the wood gym, the wood playground set with the wood chips on the ground. I remember right across the street before they tore down the building and it was an empty lot, there used to be houses right there before they installed this little driveway. Before the mental health building on 3rd Street, that used to be a junkyard. the corner store used to be an IGA on 3rd and Columbia. There used to be a toy store. There used to be a penny candy store, Suddy's. There used to be I wouldn't say convenience store or grocery store, but it was almost like a bargain store called J.J. Newberry's, and they would sell everything. I remember when there used to be firehouses on every block. I remember before Salvation Army was put over there, that used to be a sub shop. I remember when the school, as soon as you enter Hudson, when they, St. Mary's, when that used to be open as a private charter school. I remember the boat launch before they redid it, before they installed all that extra new stuff. The Basilica before they fixed it up. So much has changed in Hudson. I remember before all these antique people moved in, that they used to actually be shops, be people's shops, hat shops, scarves, you know, clothing stores. I remember Richter's used to be open and everybody would go there and get clothes and sneakers, especially if it was like Flag Day or some kind of parade in Hudson, everybody would go there. I remember, you know, before the middle school got changed, before the Firemen's Museum was put up, before the terrace crosswinds, you know, was there. You know, so much stuff has changed and I would even say evolved for the better. The way I say it, I think crime rate has really gone down in Hudson. You know, there's going to be crime anywhere, you know, regardless of where it is. But it's gone down a lot. It's very expensive to rent an apartment in Hudson, so that means Hudson is obviously making money. We're getting more artsy, which is a good thing because it allows people to express themselves. You know, for instance, this weekend is the Gay Pride Parade, and I don't know any other place in America, I'm sure there is, that has, you know, gay parades. And nothing wrong with gay people. I think it's pretty cool that they actually get a day, you know, for themselves. You know, like veterans or Puerto Ricans, you know, get a Puerto Rican Day Parade or a Veterans Day Parade, you know. Let the gay people have a parade. So which I think is pretty cool. A lot of history happened in Hudson. So I'm glad to see, like, a lot of these antique shops opening up to display more of Hudson's history. The boat launch used to be a whale dock where they would pull the whales from the shore and gut them right there and strip them for their oils and their ivories. You know, the Half Moon actually used to, it was probably like one of, next to the Iron Horse is like one of Hudson's oldest bars. And I guess back in the day where the Front Street Park is, that was basically like the center of the town. And all down street, like where the train station is, those used to be houses down there until there was like a big fire, wiped everything out, and so remade. Columbia Street used to be called the Red Light District because of all the prostitutes it had going up and down. You know, it used to be really drug infested. And as a young person,